I do want to say good morning to each one of you that came out this morning. Thank you, Trulin, for your devotions, and Jerry for your songs, the songs that you chose. And yeah, they fit very well with what I'm going to try to share this morning. As I was thinking what I should share this morning, my mind just kept going to the current state of our country and the way things are right now. It seems, you know, to be more divided than ever with the whole pandemic and starting in the spring and now ramping up again. And you have people on, you know, both sides of that, you know, as to what to do. And then, of course, the whole election thing with that and the way that is all turning out and all the uncertainty with that. And then, you know, as part of the pandemic and not being able to be with loved ones when they're sick. Some have, you know, those in the hospital or in homes. And it's just, yeah, just difficult times. And through that all, I just had to think of, you know, how does the church, how do we as a church stay unified through all this? And so I want to attempt to talk about that this morning. And I got some things here, a few things from Ken Ham, that I, some of his things that I'm going to read some and put some of my thoughts to it. So I don't think it's going to be anything really new. If you came to hoping to hear something new, you're probably going to be disappointed. But my goal would be to just encourage us as we continue to walk this journey and to shine God's light and love to those around us and to let everybody, you know, especially through this season, through the with the pageant, we have a great opportunity. And so with that, I'm going to read here some of this, what I printed from Ken Ham. And it starts with our country. And it has a picture here of Joe Biden. And he starts by saying, "It's time for us to come together as a nation. It's not going to be, and to heal. It's not going to be easy, but we have to try." In a recent speech that addressed the nation during this tumultuous and unclear election, former Vice President and presidential hopeful Joe Biden called for unity, for Americans to come together and to heal this nation. It says, so Biden wants unity, and don't we all want unity? You know, the world as we know it in the past certainly changed with all the things that, you know, you used to hear about in other countries that, you know, now you hear in our own cities where there's riots and burning buildings and none of us want that. The whole police issue. And then it goes on here and says, does he want unity based on the absolute authority of the Word of God? And we know by some of the comments that he made that that's not the case. He's not. Some of the comments, you know, about marriage and abortion and other things, some of the things that he clearly stands for would be no. And unity comes at a cost. But some feel the cost should always come from only the one side. And so when I think about unity and here in this world, and I was trying to think, you know, what could I compare this to? And for those of you that know me know that I like sports. And so I thought about, you know, a team. Usually the teams that win that are, you know, that have good players and play together, they're united for a common goal, you might say, and playing together, each member of the team does what they're supposed to do, they have a good chance, you know, assuming you have some talent. And the one thing that came to mind right away was a couple years ago. I'm sure pretty many of you would remember the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had, you know, three very talented players, the three B's, Ben, Bell, and Brown. The one article I looked at said it's probably the fifth best trio, quarterback, receiver, running back of all time. And when they played together, they were very good. I happen to not be a Steelers fan, but I'll give it to them. They were very good and accomplished pretty much. I mean, they won the division a few times and advanced to the title game, to the AFC title game for sure once. Put up a lot of good numbers together. 16 and 17 were the last 2 years, I believe, that all of them played. 2018, Bell decided, you know, as much as he's worth, he needs a new contract. And if they don't give him a new contract, he's not going to play. And he didn't get a new contract, and so he sat. Brown, while he played, was very disgruntled and certainly appears from what the articles you read, you know, caused a lot of problems within the team. And I think the last game or one of the last games, I believe he even left the field early. Needless to say, their year was not near as good. And that was the last that the three of them were together on the team till the start of the 19 season. You know, Bell had signed a contract elsewhere and Brown was traded because he couldn't get along. And when I look at that, I see, you know, you say, what is the main thing here? The main reason, and one of the main reasons you have to point to, at least that I would point to, is selfishness. They were selfish players. When they could play together, they were good. They won a lot. But when they tried to go their own way, and they broke it up. And isn't that some of the same situation in our country today? A lot of living for self, and I mean, there's a whole host of issues. But when you think of uniting the country, and we as Christians, I'll go on and read here, it says, and can there ever be real unity in this world? No. As for God's word states, the light, Jesus and his word and the gospel has come into this world. And people love darkness rather than light because their works were evil. John 3:19. We live in a dark world because of sin, and there will never be unity in this fallen world as a spiritual battle rages around us. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." As we are told, in the world you will have tribulation, and that's from John 16:33. And so I would like to look at Ephesians 4, the first six verses. In light of unity in the body of Christ, or unity in the church, and see, and certainly this is nothing new to anyone, but just as encouragement and a reminder. So I'm going to read that at this time. And this is Paul. I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So, right there at the beginning, therefore, when you see therefore, you go back and therefore, you know, Paul spent the previous three chapters spelling out all that he did, all the glorious detail that God did, not Paul, for us, freely by his grace. And now he brings a call to living right, but only after explaining what God did for us. So, you know, we can't achieve it on our own. It's only by what God did for us. And then to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. We really understand what God did for us. It should naturally want us to serve and obey him with gratitude. If we look at Ephesians 1, verse 4, I believe it is, it says, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. And the commentary there for that verse, you know, makes it clear that that's not an option. It's a requirement to be, you know, for our walk. Walk in a manner worthy of the calling which you have been called. And so how do we do that? Obviously, first of all, it's what God did for us. And then turning from our sins, from our old life, and walking in the newness of life. Moving on to with all lowliness, and it says, with all lowliness and gentleness, a worthy walk before God will be marked by lowliness and gentleness, not a pushy desire to defend our own rights and advance our own agenda. How easy is that? Lowliness was not... before Christianity, and I'll say and today, the word lowliness always had a bad association to it, and still does today. Who wants to, Everybody wants to advance themselves. It means that we can be happy and content when we are not in control or steering things our way. Can we do that in 2020, in December 2020? Can we be happy when not everything is coming our way? Long-suffering, bearing with one another in love. It says here that long-suffering is defined as the spirit that has the power to take revenge, but never does. It is characteristic of a forgiving, generous heart. How often do we have opportunity to take advantage of someone, a situation, and we hopefully don't do it? You know, I mean, it's if we're long-suffering with each other and, as Christ was for us, with us. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. This humble, forgiving attitude towards each other naturally fulfills the gift of unity of the Spirit. We must endeavor to keep this unity. We do not create it. God never commands us to create unity among believers. He has created it by His Spirit. Our duty is to recognize it and keep it. It's not something that we can do on our own. All this living like this, it's not something that we can do on our own. It's only after we accept Jesus' gift and what He did for us that we can attempt to do this. And so what should, our battle plan be, knowing this? And I'm reading here again from Ken Ham. So with calls for unity, but knowing there's a desperate spiritual battle raging, what should the Christian do? We should always be prepared for this kind of war. Ephesians 6:10-12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. For us, we need to do our best to shine light into the darkness, praying and pointing people towards the only true healer, hope, and the one who brings unity, Christ. And with the pageant this coming week, with practice, gives us time to work together, to practice, if you're like me, I'm not the most patient person in the world. It gives us time to practice these different things. And then hopefully, to show the love of Jesus to those that come. Matthew 6:16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. and we may not notice, but it says here that they may see your good works. Trust me, people see. People know. People see if we're living the life that we profess to be. Keeping in mind that ultimately true unity is not possible in or with this world, Christians, we should still be peacemakers. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Romans 12:18. For we contend for the faith. Jude 1:3. Obey the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. And boldly fight the good fight of faith, defending our faith and religious freedoms when and where necessary, no matter the strife swirling around us. And so, I don't have a lot more, but I just felt that with the current state of our country and everything that's going on, I think it's always important, but I think it's certainly important now that those around us can, that we let our light shine to those and that they can see Jesus in us. Paul tells us that we are to consider others. Paul tells us that we are to consider others' needs before our own. In all modesty, humility, and lowliness of mind, we are to be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, as Ephesians 4:2. A church filled with such people cannot help but have peace, unity, and harmony. So with that, let's pause for a word of prayer. Father God, I just thank you for the opportunity that we have to come to your house this morning. Thank you for your word, and thank you for this body of believers here at Wilmelsdorf. And we just ask that you bless each one of us as we live our lives according to your will and walk worthy for you. And just, as we go about throughout this next week with the pageant, we just pray that we could shine your light to those around us that come out and that we could just work together through this time and be unified as a body, and that each one of the body is important and each one's part. Just be with each one as they take their part. So we thank you for your love for us and just ask that you be with us throughout the rest of the day as we practice, and pray that we could bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name.